All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Tony Beam. You're listening to the second hour of Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. I'm the Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brazier Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference and where we are equipping transformational leaders for the church and society. And my co-host is Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian, this is Hannah Miller, informed and unafraid.
Can you talk for a minute over there?
I guess so. My computer is totally down, but I can talk about something, I guess.
You don't have to worry because Gary is on the phone.
Oh, we have a caller already. All right, Gary, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I have 30 seconds of encouragement in the face of all this really bad news. There is really, really good news. As I stand outside looking at the sunshine cutting across the treetops on this beautiful day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Those who put their trust in the Lord will be protected by Him. He is a refuge for those who fear Him and trust Him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. I do say go vote and go make a difference and do everything that you can. But I'm just encouraging us to remember to trust God, because therein is peace and safety and great joy because of the work that Jesus Christ has finished.
Amen. Gary, thank you for that. We needed that today. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Gary's encouragement and admonition to vote, take that to heart, because we now have crossed 80 million people who have voted already. And the predictions are we'll get to 100 million before Tuesday. So if you haven't voted, you can vote absentee until the end of the day on Monday. Of course, Tuesday's election day. You need to get out and vote. If you haven't voted, be sure to vote on election day. That's 58. By the way, 80 million people, that's 58% of the total number of people that voted in 2016. That is an unprecedented by a ton number. We want to welcome a special guest this morning to the phone, our Attorney General, Alan Wilson. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Tony. It is always great to be with you, my friend. Hope you're doing well.
Well, we're doing well, and we hope the same thing is going true for you, that you're doing well today.
Absolutely.
I wanted to get you on this morning to talk a little bit about the legal side of what this election is shaping up to be. I think a lot of Republicans, including myself, have been disappointed with the Supreme Court. Amy Coney Barrett evidently is not participating in cases yet that will affect the election. And the Supreme Court ruled just the other day that North Carolina can take, I think it's up to 9 days to get ballots in after Election Day, and that's going to be the same thing for Pennsylvania, that they're going to have 3 days, I believe, to get ballots in after Election Day. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and what the likely ramification of that can be?
Well, absolutely, and the ramifications could be, you know, serious. First off, I understand why Justice Barrett, it's actually kind of fun to say that, isn't it? Why Justice Barrett did not, you know, participate in this particular vote, because she had only been confirmed days earlier and did not have an opportunity to read the materials, which kind of underscores what she said the entire time,
right?
Is that I have to be able to read the pleadings of the parties involved in each case before I can make a decision. So I was actually, as much as I want her to participate, I want her to participate consistent with her philosophical views. So that's
right.
Why she didn't participate, because she wasn't able to read the materials.
Right.
However, having said that, the outcome is obviously serious, because, you know, what you're seeing is you're seeing states pass laws that are being challenged legally and going to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is basically in a 4-4 split, which is causing the circuit court, the appellate courts, to be the law of that circuit, and to basically uphold this particular law for these various states that basically ballots can be counted, or excuse me, received and counted, even if they're not postmarked before the election, up to, as you said, 9 days in some states and I think 3 or 6 days in other states. So what concerns me about that is you're going to have an election, you're going to have a fixed outcome, and then all of a sudden you're going to have certain states say, well, wait a second, Donald Trump won this by, you know, 2,000 votes, and then over a period of 9 days, they know the fixed number they know the exact number they have to get to, and you're just going to start seeing votes show up you know, day after day after day until they get that number. And in the Tony, you know, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but it, you know, I've never seen elections where votes come in, the ballots are found, you know, at midnight, and they, you know, it goes to the Republican. I've never seen that in the history of American politics.
No,
if it has happened, someone please tell me. I'm not aware of it.
Well, and that, and look, I hate to say this, but if this is the way it's going to go, we've got to learn how to cheat. Because if you have to cheat to win, and you're going to sit by and let the other side do it, then we're going to have to figure out a way either to catch them, which would be my preference, or we're going to have to learn how to play the game. And I don't want that, believe me. I think that one of the things about being a Republican and certainly being first a follower of Jesus Christ is the idea of integrity and defending the integrity of our election system. But if integrity goes out the window, then we've got to figure out how to hold accountable those people. You can't just let them get away with overturning the outcome of an election by bringing ballots to the table well after Election Day. And let me say this, and let me say this and get you to react to this, because essentially, in my mind, what the Supreme Court has done in North Carolina is elevate, and in Pennsylvania, too, is elevate the Board of Elections to the level of the legislative body. In fact, it's a super legislative body, because the laws in North Carolina and Pennsylvania are supposed to be set by the legislature. That's who determines constitutionally the election schedule, how the elections work. It's a state-by-state process. So when the Board of Electors, when the Supreme Court comes in and a 4-4 tie basically says, or whatever it ended up being, the Board of Electors in North Carolina can supersede the legislature, you've elevated them to some kind of super legislative body. Is that not right?
No, you absolutely have. And again, that is what concerns me. I can tell you one thing, that if there is another controversy, and there will be, I'm sure, where you have ballots postmarked after the election date or with illegible, no signatures or no postmark, either way, and they come up, there's going to be lawsuits, and I will be part of it on behalf of the state of South Carolina. And I can tell you right now, and I can't predict what Justice Amy Coney Barrett will do, but she will have had time to read everything by that point. So, I mean, we're not going to lie down. I can assure you of that. And here's some food for thought. And this is a crazy thing that I read the other day. Let's pivot a minute from the election to the Electoral College. Aftermath, you know, you could have a situation, you know, where the Electoral College is split evenly down the middle. And it's actually pretty close to that, where you have 269 to 269. And you have, like, Maine has a situation where, you know, you can split up the electoral votes. And then, so if you have 269 to 269, then there's a tie. And then it goes to the House. And then the House votes by delegation. Now, the Democrats have the most number of House members, but the delegations are, I think, 26 to 24 or 27 to 23 Republican.
Yeah, it is. It's in favor of the Republicans.
So it would vote by delegation. But like I said earlier, you could have situations in which you get a 50-50 split in the House of Representatives on the vote. So if you have a split Electoral College, and then we lose a couple of House seats, and then the states go 25-25, and then you have a 50-50 Senate. You know, and that these are all plausible numbers. I mean, for all of them to happen is highly unlikely, but for any one of them to happen is actually plausible. We have the 50-50 in the Senate. You have a 50-50 split in the House by state delegations, even if the Democrats are still in control. And then you have a 269 split in the Electoral College. Basically, you have, and then the House just votes over and over and over and over like it did for Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr.
Right.
And then you have Nancy Pelosi as acting President of the United States until such time as the Congress is able to determine who the winner is.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
so
it is.
I mean, there's some serious high stakes here.
Well, there are, and there's serious high stakes when it comes to this idea of constitutional law being ignored, in my mind, by the Supreme Court. I don't understand. Well, I understand Roberts. look, right, I don't want to hear any more stories about Roberts joins the liberals on the court in voting. Just let's change the headline. Roberts and the rest of the liberals on the court do so-and-so. But so I'm not surprised that Roberts is into this, but what in the world has happened to Kavanaugh? Why would he vote along with Roberts to let the, allow this to – we only had three justices that voted to stop this, and that was Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch. I'm baffled by that. I really am.
And I've only read the headlines, Tony. I haven't actually read their opinion. So I can't speak to their reasoning or logic. I'll probably get a chance to read. My brother's getting married this weekend, so there'll probably be some downtime, and I'll be able to read it. I do want to say one other thing real quick. We've been getting calls of suspicious voter irregularities and, you know, voter intimidation through, you know, mailers and things like that. I want people to know that if they see any type of shady business going on over the election over the next couple of days, including Tuesday, their inclination is to want to call the AG's office. What I would ask you to do is to, A, you have cell phones, cameras, and video cameras on them. Document, take photos, videos, do anything you can to document it. Report to local law enforcement first. Obviously, if you want to send it to us, we're going to get with the Election Commission, and we'll come back with the Election Commission. But we don't have the ability to send an agent or an officer down there because we don't have them. So you're the front lines of, you know, defense against electoral fraud and intimidation for anybody. So, I mean, document it as best you can, because that's the kind of information we're going to go back to and review with law enforcement after the conduct has occurred. So I just want to make sure people knew that.
Well, that raises a question for me. Every time I open my laptop, an ad pops up telling me that Bill Bledsoe is the most conservative candidate in the race for the Senate. And I mean, before, it was obviously Jamie Harrison talking about Bledsoe, saying that, you know, trying to sort of in a backhanded way talk about how conservative he is so that conservatives who don't think Lindsey Graham is conservative would go vote for Bledsoe. But now they've dropped all this pretense and they're just running straight up ads that are from this Liberty group, which is a part of the Harrison campaign, that's saying that Bill Bledsoe is the most conservative candidate. He would do this, 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 and this. And he's dropped out October 1st and endorsed Senator Graham. His name is still on the ballot, so he could siphon off. Is that legal? I mean, can you go out and campaign and make it sound like a candidate is still a viable candidate when he's dropped out of the race, even though his name's on the ballot? I mean, what's the legality there? Is there anything about that?
Well, Tony, one of the commercials that I listened to, they said that he's, you know, they have his name on the ballot, and they refer to him being on the ballot. You know, so, I mean, here's the thing. What you're basically describing is a political campaign is sowing disinformation and being dishonest.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I got
let's,
you.
Let's call the media.
Yeah.
who is often in the bag for that side. But, no, there's nothing illegal. It's just immoral.
Yeah.
It's wrong. Yeah. It's immoral. They are deceiving. They are deceptive. This is what you see in political campaigns in the last hour when they get more money than God. No offense, but they got more money than they know what to do with.
Right.
And they are spending this money, and they are just doing any and every. If they can siphon off 2%, you know. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I've seen polls recently that make me feel a lot better than I felt a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I know Senator Graham has pulled ahead, and I believe he's going to win. I believe the Republicans are going to run the table in South Carolina, and the Democrats have spent over $100 million. I think it's going to be a bad night for them within the state of South Carolina. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be vigilant. And if you're a conservative who's not happy with Senator Graham, or maybe you've questioned Senator Graham, the whole point of this is to dupe you, to fool you, because they don't think you're smart, and they think you're just going to go down there and you're going to pull a Bledsoe lever. This is really about voting for Jamie Harrison and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. If you vote for Bill Bledsoe, who I understand is a very nice man, you're voting for the left because he's already out of the race and has endorsed Graham.
Yeah.
You need to vote for Lindsey Graham. That's plain stuff. We need to vote for Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
I've got one other thing I'd like to add on. You know, in the last few weeks leading up to this election, we've been hearing an increasing amount of people on the left saying, well, you know, the Trump and the Republicans, they're not gonna leave the White House. They're gonna contest this thing. They're not gonna go quietly into the night like they should, because this is gonna be a fair election and they're going to lose and they're not going to leave. But this conversation has really been, and we're looking at next Tuesday being rife with a lot of cheating. And, you know, do we really suspect that Pennsylvania, Michigan, and North Carolina that have so mishandled a lot of COVID this year, that have mishandled so many other situations just in this year alone, that they're going to let a fair election happen and let Donald Trump get elected and let their swing states go in his direction? Well, I think that really is, there's a lot of questions on that. So what should be Republicans' response? Because we don't want to be violent and we don't want to feed this fodder of the Republicans are violent and they're the angry ones and they don't want a fair election, but it is looking like we're not going to have a fair election, but it's coming from the Dems. So what should be our response to that?
Well, obviously, the last thing we want to do is to go out and exercise our rights of free speech the way the left has. And by the way, what they're exercising is not free speech. The violent protests that you've seen in Pennsylvania,
yes,
and Wisconsin and Minneapolis and Illinois and Oakland and Oregon and other locations in Los Angeles, this is the far extreme radical left. This is the direction that the Democratic Party is going. The far left is going. I know a lot of good mainstream Democrats in South County. These aren't them, but we don't need to be acting like that. And honestly,
right,
I don't think we will, because that's not the kind of values we espouse in our party.
Right.
But I do think you need to be heard. If you suspect that there has been cheating and foul play, I think you need to go ahead and let your voice be heard. You need to let your voice be heard on social media. You need to let your voice be heard in conventional media. You need to write letters to the editor. We need to send an avalanche, a tidal wave across this country, and we need to be loud. I mean loud, and we need to stay loud, not just for a couple of months, but going forward, being loud. You need to drown out the media. And honestly, when you have the far left that has basically captured big tech, they've captured the mainstream media, they've captured academia, they've captured Hollywood and our culture. They've captured all those institutions in America, but they haven't captured the heartland, that part of this country that people fly over to go from New York to L.A.
Right.
And by the way, the Southeast is in that heartland as well. They haven't captured that, and we need to stand together. We need to say it loudly, but we do not need to act like the other side, because then we lose the moral high ground.
Yes.
When we argue against them.
Yeah, that's true. Mr. Attorney General, thank you so much for taking so much of your time today to be with us and helping us to sort through some of these things and encourage us about what to do in the face of what we see happening around the country. God bless you, my brother. Have a great weekend. You said your brother was getting married?
Yeah, my baby brother getting,
wow,
married tomorrow. So we're going to have to do brother groomsman stuff today, and then I'll get all the rehearsal dinners and activities tomorrow. So it's going to be a full weekend for the Wilsons. Even though it's Halloween, we'll be at a wedding tomorrow night, and of course, getting ready for the big week next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, enjoy your weekend, and thank you again for joining us today. God bless you, brother.
Love you guys. Bye.
Yeah, love you too. Bye-bye. Okay, again, thanks to Attorney General Alan Wilson for joining us this morning to talk about some of these issues. Let me read to you what Gorsuch wrote. This is about North Carolina. This is the terrible Supreme Court decision that is going to allow North Carolina to have ballots coming in up to 9 days after the election. He wrote, "The parties before us all acknowledge that under the federal Constitution, only the state legislature and Congress may prescribe the times, places, and manner of holding elections. Everyone agrees, too, that the North Carolina Constitution expressly vests all legislative power in the General Assembly, not the board or anyone else. So, we need not go rifling through state law to understand the board's permissible role in writing election laws. All we need to know about its authority to override state election laws is plain from the federal and state constitutions. And the Fourth Circuit judges Wilkerson AG and Niemeyer thoughtfully explained the board's constitutional overreach and the broader problems with last-minute election law writing by lawsuit. As they observed, efforts like these not only offend the Elections Clause's textual commitment of responsibility for election lawmaking to state and federal legislators, they do damage to faith in the written Constitution as law, to the power of the people to oversee their government, and to the authority of legislatures. Such last-minute changes by largely unaccountable bodies, too, invite confusion, risk altering election outcomes, and in the process threaten voter confidence in the results. That is an excellent, that is exactly the case. And you know what happened in 2000 when George W. Bush became president? Because of the 544 or whatever the number was in Florida, the Supreme Court ruled that Florida, I mean, back then, that Florida could not change their election laws and count votes that they decide to count after the ballots had been cast. That's exactly the same thing. At that point, the Supreme Court realized, look, you can change your election laws, but you can't do it after the election has taken place. You can't rewrite your election laws and allow votes to be counted that you want to be counted so you can get the outcome that you desire. You have to go by what the legislature in the state of Florida has done. That's what the Supreme Court made Florida do, and that's why George W. Bush was president. Now, I don't know what we're going to have on Election Day now. I mean, I was beginning to feel like, okay, if North Carolina has to count ballots up until Election Day and they can't have all these ballots coming in after, if Pennsylvania, but Hannah made a great point a minute ago. I mean, why in the world would we think that governors who have lied to people about COVID, have taken draconian measures to lock down their states, why would we think that they would suddenly allow Donald Trump to win their state if that's necessary for him to be president of the United States? Why would we have any confidence that that would happen? If they had the opportunity to push the ledger toward Biden by having ballots show up after the election.
I mean, November 3rd, 8 o'clock November 3rd, it's just going to tell them how many votes they got to rake in for Biden in order to
change the outcome.
To change the outcome.
Right. Same thing in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And don't think that's you will not convince me that that's mm-hmm. not on the table. Now, the question is, can we catch them? Can we prove? Can we, as the Supreme Court, when you get Amy Coney Barrett seated, and have the ability to go through these cases, will Kavanaugh come around and look at this and see that ballots coming in after Election Day are suspect? Mm-hmm.
Well, one win that we had was the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in Minnesota. They've ruled that Minnesota absentee ballots must be physically received by 8 p.m. on Election Day in order to be counted.
Yeah.
So Minnesota has said, look, they said the ruling said that the plaintiffs, which was the Secretary of State Steve Simmons' office, did not show that they were entitled to relief amid the continuing COVID-19 pandemic. So it has to be postmarked November 3rd.
Well, if I'm losing that case, I'm appealing. I mean, I'd appeal to the Supreme Court, make an emergency appeal. They'll probably change it by Monday. Yeah. I mean, because they've demonstrated that what they're going to do is allow ballots to keep pouring in after Election Day. And that, I mean.
And every blue state in the union should be saying, whoop,
that's
we're going to do it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What we're going to do.
Because why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. I think that you talk about undermining people's confidence. That's exactly what Gorsuch wrote. It mm-hmm. threatens voter confidence in the results when you allow this kind of activity to take place. All right, this is probably where I need to take some deep breaths. This is why I can't. I have to get better at being able to logically respond to stuff that is just nonsense. And I guess that's where my tolerance for just outright lies that people know are not true. I have a real problem with that. I like to talk, if you want to debate facts, if you want to look at evidence over here and evidence over here, but when you just come out and say things that are demonstrably false and that are inflammatory and are politically designed to cause people to embrace a lie. That causes me, I just don't know where to go with that other than to respond as strongly as I know how and try to do it in a manner that is respectful. But we're losing it, folks. I mean, I come here every morning and I do my best to not just sound like, you know, doom and gloom, to be the Eeyore of radio world. But when I look at what's happening, when I look at these Supreme Court decisions and I see the law of North Carolina and Pennsylvania is being overturned by the federal government for no reason. There is no. Now, if you've got a law that says that you can go out and shoot somebody if you don't like them in a particular state, then the federal government, you know, we've got a reason for the Supreme Court to step in and do something about that. But you're talking about election law. You're talking about just the integrity of the electoral system. And you're letting a group of electors, of an election board, I should say, that has absolutely, they weren't elected by anybody. They're not the legislative body. And they're writing laws in the state of North Carolina. They're rewriting the election laws to benefit the Biden campaign at the ninth hour going into an election. This is the kind, they want to talk about Trump undermining confidence in the election system. Give me a break. This is where people start losing confidence.
You know, this is just another example yet again of them accusing Trump and the Republicans of doing something that they themselves are in fact doing. Working with Ukraine, Russia, China.
Yeah. Who's been doing that?
Who's been doing all those things? The Biden campaign. Who's been out violent, you know, rioting in the streets and burning people's homes and businesses down? Has it been the violent Republicans that they've been, and Trump supporters that they've been accusing and making those accusations against for years now? No. You know, are we undermining the voting process? No. Are they? Yes. Again and again and again, the things that they're pointing at us and saying they're doing, it's, you know, again, it's, what's that old pastor's principle? They say, you know, when you're pointing your finger at other people, there's three fingers pointing back at you.
Right.
Well, that's very true in this instance.
Well, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how to make it any plainer than this. A vote, you go out right now and you vote for Biden and Kamala Harris. That is putting the mob and the Marxist in the White House. These people that are burning down Philadelphia are the people that are ramping up in favor of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And I want you to this story broke my heart. I saw this at Daily Wire. It's a picture of a Vietnamese Baptist church that is completely destroyed. I mean, completely engulfed in flames. Where is it? In Philadelphia. Why was it burned? Well, the pastor has absolutely no idea. They burned it from the roof. They threw flammable chemicals on the roof, and the flames burned through the roof and consumed the rest of the building. It was a total loss. And this is where? This is in Philadelphia, where protesters decide it's a Vietnamese Baptist church. What possible connection could it have?
How are they oppressing you?
These are just people that have come out from under oppression, who have come to the United States in Philadelphia, the city where liberty and freedom was born. They came in order to worship and to absolutely express their right to the freedom of religion. And what happens? A bunch of thugs in the name of somebody. Let me get their name right here because I don't want to mess up their name. Walter Wallace Jr., in the name of Walter Wallace Jr., who took a knife and threatened police officers and was shot by the police, that they go burn down a Vietnamese Baptist church. And the media, the mainstream media, is covering this up because they know that this hurts Biden in Pennsylvania. I mean, you're not gonna get the fact. You're gonna hear about mostly peaceful protests. That's the mainstream media mantra going into election weekend, when you've got these people that are burning churches and burning businesses. And I mean, all across the country, we're seeing stories where people are boarding up their businesses for Election Day because they're afraid of what the mob is going to do. You want the mob to run this country?
This is the United States of America.
It is.
That's what happens in the
Middle East. Boarding up businesses.
That's what happens in third world countries.
Folks, we need to pay attention to this. I mean, I can't fathom. As a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, I'm fully vested in the sovereignty of God, and I'm not going to panic or withdraw from life if Biden and Harris are elected Tuesday. But I'm telling you, as far as a country is concerned, this country will not be recognizable if they get the reins of power. And not just because they're Democrats. It's not about the Democrat Party as the Democrat Party used to be. It's about the Democrat Party and what it has become at the hands of progressives who now run the show. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know how to put it.
We just have to wait. You know, people who have been historically Democratic have got to wake up and realize that the Democrat Party isn't what it used to be. And, you know, how long are we going to look at pictures of restaurants and businesses and churches being burned to the ground and hear this mantra of mostly peaceful protest? And are we going to look at that picture and watch those videos and have this? I mean, it's total and utter brainwashing.
It is.
And the fact that we can watch it with our own two eyes and still repeat like little robots, mostly peaceful protest. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that people, I'm hoping that this surge in voting are people recognizing what's at stake.
Well, Susan on Facebook did say earlier that the GOP has outpaced the Democrats in Miami-Dade so far with voting,
which is amazing.
Which is amazing, and I'm hoping that what you were just saying, that it is true, because if Trump has to win by a massive landslide in order to overcome the cheating that I think they're planning.
Well, and I don't know how. I mean, North Carolina and Pennsylvania are going to be key.
Yep.
I mean, it's starting. It really is starting to look like that's the firewall, is that North Carolina and Pennsylvania is going to be. They know that Trump's got to win North Carolina. He's got to win Florida, North Carolina. And then he's got to win one or two of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. He's got to win Ohio. But when Pennsylvania and North Carolina, when you see this kind of chicanery going into the election, it's very concerning. I'm going to get in so much trouble. Google Life Chain, because Life Chain is
Sunday
afternoon. And it's at Westside Baptist Church over in Spartanburg. It's where we gather. And I think it's 2 o'clock. I think it's 2 to 3. But at the time, that's what I don't have at the tip of my tongue. And Alexa Newman is yelling at her radio right now, if she's listening.
Pulling it up.
She's going to be yelling at me.
The internet would go a little faster.
So, yeah, she'll
get 2 o'clock. Right. Yep, we were both
2
right.
2 o'clock. Good. Never doubt me. Even me. I shouldn't doubt me. Now, 2 o'clock, if you join us for Life Chain, that'd be great. A lot of people go, well, I don't want to go out there because it's, you know, we might get arrested. No, it's not a protest. We're standing, holding signs.
It's a mostly peaceful
protest.
Sorry.
That's right. Nothing will be burned. There'll be nothing. And there's even in this political environment, last year things were pretty hot and we were out there and the majority of people that drive by are giving us a thumbs up. Now, sometimes we get a finger instead of a thumb, but I mean, that's a small price to pay for standing up for life.
Ooh, what kind of persecution?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, he shot me a bird. Oh, no. My day's Look, just come. We've got signs. It'll be fine.
Gird your loins. Come on out.
and just remember which side has the guns in case they start trouble. Did I say that? I didn't say that.
No.
All right. Todd's on the phone. Todd, go ahead.
Good morning, Tony and Hannah. How are y'all this morning?
We're good,
well.
Todd. I hope you're doing well.
Good, thank you. Quick question. How do you counter socialism if you're in a conversation with a socialist who thinks he's a Democrat?
I missed some of that, Todd. For some reason, you're kind of coming in and out on your phone. Something about convincing somebody who thinks they're a Democrat. What were you saying?
Yeah, that's it. How do you counter socialism if you're in a conversation with a socialist who thinks he's a Democrat?
Well, I mean, the only way that I know to do it is to point out socialism around the world And it's abject failure. That socialism is a failure. It doesn't work. It doesn't deliver what it promises. Essentially, socialism is a form of communism. It's an offshoot of communism, Marxism. But as a political philosophy, everywhere that it's tried, it doesn't elevate people. It pulls everybody down. And instead of pulling people up that are having issues or struggling in the economy or struggling for whatever reason, instead of lifting their lot in life, it pulls the people who are successful down and puts everybody, you end up with two classes. You have an elite power group, and then you have everybody else who is funneling all of their resources into the elite power group. The thing about capitalism is that it creates a viable, strong middle class that allows people to support their families, to have good jobs, and to thrive. I mean, it promotes human flourishing. Socialism never does that. You cannot point to a single example in the world where socialism has done anything to improve people's human flourishing.
Todd, it sounds like, you know, whenever I'm in the counseling room, I learned a long time ago that for people to understand, very rarely do I say something that opens their eyes. A lot of times it's something that I can get them to say that comes out of their own mouth. And so encouraging people to look at history and encouraging them to study socialism around the world that's been in our history and currently, and then to study what's going on in the Democrat Party right now and help them to compare and contrast those. Because when they begin to see it, they'll see the connections with their own eyes and hopefully. But the purpose would be to help them see it with their own eyes and draw those connections and realize that the Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of yesteryear. And it really is embracing a lot of socialistic Marxist ideologies. But they have to compare that, I think, with what's going on in other socialist countries. And they have to do it themselves. If we try to sit and just lecture and point it out, a lot of times they just, you know, huddle in their echo chamber and refuse to hear. But encourage them to study these other countries and these other systems and then compare it to what's going on here.
And a final thing, Todd, I'd encourage tell them to look at states that have been run perpetually by Democrats. I mean, California.
There's a lot of socialist policies going on in these cities.
There are. And a lot of these cities that have socialist policies are failing. And they're experiencing violence and high rates of crime and high rates of poverty because socialist policies essentially have been in place by Democrat leaders for a number of years. I hope that helps, Todd.
Yeah, thank you so much. It gives me some tools to work with for sure.
Okay.
I mean, I could talk to people, you know, who are socialists or Democrats, and they don't listen to anything I want to say. So, but that gives me definitely some groundwork and some equipping for sure. Thank you.
Okay.
So much.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah. The problem with that is that it's very difficult to get people to actually work hard. And it takes some work to look at these. You have to read. You have to sit down and draw connections between, okay, well, how is this similar to what the Democrats are doing right now? Or how is this different from what the Democrats are doing right now? And you have to wrestle with these. And we're an intellectually lazy culture. And I say that all the time. We just want to open our brains and just, you know, have people and professors and teachers dump information in and then be done. And we're just going to memorize it and repeat it. We don't want to understand it, and we don't want to wrestle with it. But so it's a difficult place to be to get. And that's why we can look at videos of churches burning to the ground and repeat, you know, this is a mostly peaceful protest.
Yeah.
That's how we get there.
And the protest is over. It's based on a completely erroneous set of circumstances. I mean, people are saying that the police officers should have shot to wound William Wallace.
Yeah,
Jr.
They're like, he should use rubber bullets.
Yeah, what are you? He had a knife. I mean,
a terrorist just went into a church in, was it France?
France.
Yeah, two days ago and decapitated a woman with a knife and killed two other people with a knife.
Yeah, three. And the woman that was decapitated was killed too. So, I mean, I know you meant that. But, yeah. I mean, three people killed. And Hannah's right, with a knife. And so this somebody's coming at you with a knife, and you have the ability to protect yourself, and you're going to say, okay, shoot them in the leg. First of all, you shoot somebody in the leg, they still have the ability to stab you. Mm-hmm. And second of all, if you shoot for the leg and miss, you're likely to hit somebody else, and then the person's going to stab you anyway. I mean, your officers are trained to shoot center mass because that's the biggest
target.
They're
not trained to pull their gun willy-nilly, but if they do pull their gun,
if they pull it, they're going to shoot somebody to kill.
Yep, that's right.
And can't they just shoot the knife out of their hand? I've seen
like
that
television.
On TV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If they're Butch Cassidy or if they're somebody like that, I guess they can. But that's obviously that's not part of what their training is. And this is something else that I want you to consider. When you talk about Marxism, Todd, if you're still listening, you know, the rag on President Trump is this. They rag him about destroying the Constitution. Can we talk about destroying the Constitution for a minute? Getting rid of the filibuster in the Senate. There are those that want to abolish the United States Senate that are part of this radical progressive group that now runs the Democrat Party. Get rid of the Senate because they want a pure democracy without any checks and balances. Let's get rid of the Electoral College. Same reason. No checks and balances. Let's add states until we have enough to have a perpetual progressive leadership in Washington. Let's do that. Let's pack the Supreme Court and put justices on until nothing matters except the Supreme Court's decision about everything. It becomes a super legislature. I mean, who's really trying to wreck the Constitution here? I mean, these are things that are out there. They're in print. All you have to do is listen to the leaders in the Democrat Party to find out how far left they've really gone. Don't forget to turn your clocks back tomorrow night. If you forget that, you're going to be early for things, right? Or is it going to make you late? No, it'll make you late.
It'll make you late.
You'd be early for spring forward.
Life Change right. Sunday, 2
yep.
o'clock.
2 o'clock over at West End Baptist Church in Spartanburg. Have a good weekend. See you Monday.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.